The mad Russian took his leave, then Cavaretta led the team. Ernie's baseball days were full of fun.
Let's all say one thing that I'm sure he would love to hear, and I want everyone to shout it at the top of their lungs, his favorite saying, let's play two. Ready? On a one, and a two, and a three, let's play two! Thank you.
Baseball and the Cubs.
Earlier today, you heard that and more here on WGN Radio, the funeral services for Ernie Banks, and it was touching. It was well done. The music and the readings and the funny stories and the sad stories, it all sounded right to us, I'll tell you that. It's 2:11 on WGN. This is John Williams. You haven't heard me on Saturday afternoons before. You do today, and you will next Saturday, I hope, and Saturdays thereafter. This is my new slot, no longer weekdays, but on Saturday afternoons from 1 to 3, and you can sure follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/KingJohn. In fact, there today I posted a picture of the Charlie Hebdo that you've heard a lot about. I mean the one that has the green cover and Je suis Charlie on the front, tout est pardonné. And I've been kind of hot to get my hands on one of these things for the longest time just to sort of see what that was all about. It turns out they're actually having a conference free and open to the public at UIC about this, and I'll give you the details on that in just a minute. Jennifer Solheim is one of the people that will be presenting there. She's from the University of Illinois at Chicago. She's a specialist in North African and Middle Eastern culture in France, and she'll be one of the people that's presenting there. Jennifer, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So you speak French, and are you a professor of French studies, too? I mean, exactly what is your discipline?
Right. So I'm in the Department of French and Francophone Studies, and this could be disputed, but I would say that there's a lot of crossover between the two. So although I mostly work on North Africa and the Middle East, that carries over to France as well. So,
why is there a crossover now? Why is that in dispute?
Well, I don't know that it's in dispute, but part of it is there's France, the country, and then there's the French-speaking world, which is often referred to as Francophone. So some people would say those two things are distinct. I would argue that they're, in terms of culture and literature, that's a blurry line.
Earlier this month, a few people burst into Charlie Hebdo, killed 12, injured others, and so a lot of us just then for the first time were discovering this. Do you call it a newspaper or magazine?
The staff of Charlie Hebdo would refer to it as a fanzine, using the American term. It's kind of a weekly. Hebdo means weekly. So a sort of weekly magazine or newspaper.
And what's its niche? I mean, what kind of a newspaper is it?
Right. So it's, those familiar with The Onion in the United States, it's akin to that, except it's much more puerile. It's much more vulgar. The type of humor in Charlie Hebdo is actually called bête et méchant, which means basically stupid and vile, stupid and mean.
That's the genre.
So you get a sense from that.
And do we have an equivalent to that? I mean, I know a lot of us think of The Onion or Mad Magazine, but do we really have this kind of a voice in popular printed American culture?
We really don't. And part of it is that this is a tradition in France that goes back to the early 19th century with caricature. There was, drawing, a caricature of the king, Louis-Philippe, drawn to make his head look like a pear. The artist and the editor were put on trial for this, and the editor basically said, look, all we did was the guy has a pear-shaped head. What's the problem with us just drawing the outline of it and calling it a pear, right? From our perspective, it looks very cute. At the time, it was pretty incendiary.
Fast forward now to Islamic extremists who think that any depiction of Muhammad is grounds for terrorist retaliation. What do you make of sort of egging that population on?
I don't know that you can say specifically Charlie Hebdo was targeting Islam in any way, right? One of the major points of Charlie Hebdo is, as is the case throughout France, there's a real duty to question the role of religion and religious institutions, right? So when I think about Charlie Hebdo before all of this happened, when I think about being in Paris and seeing people reading it on the train or whatever, I would actually think of the Pope. That would be the first thing I would think of.
What do you mean?
Well, there would be imagery of the Pope in a similar way to what's been passed around about Muhammad. Just highly satirical, highly critical, very harsh, and often very infantile.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's not like they just picked on Muslims. They picked on Catholics. They pick on everybody, right?
Catholics, Jews, Christians, feminists. Yeah, you name it, it's a target. And that's part of the point. That's part of the idea behind this satire, is that nothing is sacred.
This cover that I just described, give us some context to that. Tout est pardonné, all is forgiven. Who is forgiving whom in the cover of that first issue after the shooting?
Well, I think that's actually part of the play here, is who is forgiving and who is being forgiven, right? So here we have another depiction of Muhammad, right, which is ostensibly the reason why the staff at Charlie Hebdo were targeted and attacked and killed.
And he has a tear coming out of his eye.
Right. And he's holding the now famous phrase, you know, a sign with the now famous phrase, Je suis Charlie. So it's really, I mean, a lot of lines are blurred here, which is often the case with Charlie Hebdo cartoons, is that they draw from a whole bunch of disparate sources, right, and sort of put them together, and it's up to the reader to interpret that and to find it funny or not, right?
But if nothing else, it would appear as though at least even Muhammad is saying, I'm sorry, you know, in my name, these fools did this, right?
Right. Certainly that's one of the overt messages here.
When we open it up then, I don't speak French or not well enough to appreciate what's happening here, but you and I each have a copy, and I'll just describe a little of it, and while our listeners won't be able to see it, they'll be able to perhaps understand. When you open it up, it opens up into, if you will, one big full page, an article in the middle,
right,
which is split by the seam in the middle, and then cartoons all the way around, in black and white, a couple of them in color. What are we seeing here?
This is a pretty typical sort of Charlie Hebdo spread. Again, everything is being mocked here, more or less. We have Sister Emmanuel, who's talking about masturbation and oral sex.
Really? It's just a picture. That's the one in the upper left-hand corner.
That's the one in the upper left-hand corner.
It's just a line drawing of a wrinkled old lady. She's got a matronly look on her face, glasses, and there's something here that is some off-color joke about oral sex.
Right.
That's it? And that's it? That's just ha-ha-ha funny?
What's the
thing below it? Enfant l'iPhone 5. And then it says blaspheme, sacrilege, something else. What's going on there?
So, you know, iPhone 5, not the newest iPhone, but one of the new. These cartoons, I should mention, are reprints from older issues, right?
Got it.
So these are the artists who were killed a few weeks ago.
Oh, I see.
Right. So Cabu is one of the, this one that we're looking at now is Cabu. So the idea here was the iPhone 5 was new at the time, and that you would have these different, and this is supposed to be an Islamic extremist here, you can tell by the beard, basically. So blasphemy, sacrilege, and then I'm not sure what apost, you know, that's a different, probably relating to, you know, just taking Islam, you know, insulting Islam, something like that. And essentially, it's almost like a bomb going off, right? They would use the iPhone 5 to set off a bomb.
Oh, I see. It's a new feature on the iPhone.
Right, and he can watch it.
This is how the Islamic extremists would be using it.
Yeah.
What is the article in the middle about?
So the article in the middle, the apéro, this is the usual introduction. That's what it's called, which essentially means a before-dinner cocktail. That's what the opening piece is usually called in Charlie Hebdo. The title of it, the headline is, Will There Still Be Yes, But? And what's going on here is it's a piece basically that's talking about the question of laïcité in France, which is the rough translation of that word is secularism. Where we would think of that differently in the United States is where we think about separation of church and state as protecting religious beliefs, religious institutions, freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
In France, it's more so freedom from religion for the state. And this actually goes back to the revolution, which was, you know, fighting against an aristocracy that believed they had the divine right to rule over the people. Right. So that's been a huge issue in France ever since. It was actually codified into law in 1905, the idea of we cannot have religion be a part of the state in any way. And so that's what this piece is about. It's talking about the question of what are the limits of laïcité and freedom of expression in France.
Well, that's timely in this case.
Right.
The whole world has sort of taken Charlie Hebdo as a sort of, you know, the flag for freedom of the press, the flag for freedom of expression, the flag for my right to insult you, even if I find it insulting, because you can't shut my words and thoughts down.
Right.
Tell me what else. I'll pause here. Come back and just give me some of the highlights and some of the lowlights, if you will, of this famous edition. Did you happen to see what the number is of issues of this sold? I know it went to 6 million, but I don't know if they had additional reprinted as well.
You know, I'm actually not sure about that. Sure if they reprinted. But yeah, I mean, it was a blockbuster for Charlie Hebdo. They usually have a fairly, you know, pretty modest circulation.
Well, the numbers were 60,000, and in this case, 6 million minimum.
Right.
It's 221. All right, we'll pick it up here in a minute. This is WGN. So there goes the sun. The clouds are here, and so too will the snow be. We haven't backed off that forecast yet. The overall snow accumulation, 6 to 10 inches starting tonight. Less today than tomorrow, a little more tomorrow. When it's all said and done, you might have more than 10 inches, depending on where you're living and listening. Tonight, snow, and the temperatures are moderate for the weekend, really. I mean, 28 tonight, and tomorrow, 28 degrees. It starts to get cold Sunday night, and Monday will be windy and cold and snow-packed. More about that in just a few minutes. It's 2:24. In the next half hour, Matt Rausch, as he has so many times on Saturday afternoons on WGN, visits with us again from TV Guide magazine to talk about some of the trends in TV and what we're looking forward to this spring, including what NBC is going to be doing with Thursday nights. Right now, though, we're talking a little bit about that Charlie Hebdo magazine, which came to Chicago this past week. In fact, at UIC, they're having a conference, a roundtable on Charlie Hebdo. Details on that in just a minute. Jennifer Solheim is one of the presenters there and professors over at UIC. So she and I each have a copy of this. Where did you get yours, by the way, Jennifer? How did you get your hands on one of these things?
I got it from Kristen.
So. Marv, my producer, as did I. I mean, literally, we were talking to people in France saying, can you get one on a plane and send it here? And Chicago's not Timbuktu. It was hard to get a copy here. People in Paris were having trouble.
And I have to thank our loyal listener, Skip, who was in Paris and who got us both the magazine.
Oh,
so,
that's right. Oh, this
thank
is
you.
From Skip.
This it is from Skip, yep.
Directly, and it came directly to my house. He bared the expense. It's in mint condition, not so much as a note that I could even mention his name on the radio. So, Skip, thank you. We appreciate that. And now let's just wrap it up by telling us a little bit more about what stands out in this issue to you, Jennifer. What's noteworthy, good or bad?
I think, you know, from the cover to some of the commentary, it's much more gentle. It's clearly there's a sense of we're going to keep doing this. We're going to continue. There's a lot of, I mean, let's see if there's a pagination. Yeah, page 8, the center spread.
Yeah.
Over on the left-hand side, Luz, who's one of the remaining surviving stockholders, he wasn't there on the 7th, so he wasn't killed.
Yeah.
But he's been one of the very public faces of mourning of the Charlie Hebdo team. He has a cartoon that's the negatives and the positives in the days after the shooting.
Lay plus and lay minus here.
Yeah, exactly. So, for instance, I mean, in my mind, it's a little more measured and a little more, I mean, it actually made me laugh out loud at moments. You know, the flag at half mast, my libido's at half mast, and it's a picture of him in bed with his wife, and she's saying, "It'll come back, my love." You know, just the fact that this really is obviously a very traumatic event, not just for the cartoonists, but for...
You get the sense, yeah, but for...
For, you know, the French public, most of these cartoonists, they didn't just do Charlie Hebdo. They were also very well-known, awarded, beloved cartoonists who worked across several genres.
You get the sense maybe this issue was, they knew this was for a larger audience. This was for more than just its aficionados. A friend of mine, though, is a French teacher, and he said, you know, I'm not a fan of this. I mean, everything that it represents, absolutely. But this kind of commentary and cartoon wasn't his cup of tea. You probably hear that a lot. What's your sense of it?
Personally, it's been really interesting over the last few weeks to be defending so vigilantly something that I don't particularly find funny and I often find offensive.
Right.
Right. Nonetheless, I mean, it comes out of not only old French tradition, but it comes out of punk culture. It, you know, this is part of satire, is raw, brutish commentary, right, that's both visual and in language.
And the commentary that's in here in the cartoons are about religion, politicians, issues. I mean, it's not a sports magazine. It's not a political magazine per se, right? Is it just kind of a mishmash?
I would say there is a definite, more than an undercurrent of political engagement in Charlie Hebdo. It definitely takes, its two main targets are religion and capitalism.
Really? They don't like capitalism?
Well, and that's another kind of duty in French to question the value of capitalism. So,
They had a tragedy that has turned into, kind of like that last column said, maybe something positive, and that we discovered it and it made us appreciate a little more freedom of expression, freedom of the press, freedom of caricature. Although, you know, just one last note from you, Jennifer. I understand that some newspapers, major newspapers, the New York Times among them across this country, didn't run this cover of this issue on theirs because they didn't want to be the object, as was Charlie Hebdo. In fact, when I posted it on Facebook, somebody said to me, shouldn't you digitize the cover as have others? I wonder what you think of all of that.
I think this is part of liberty of expression, right? Charlie Hebdo first became a target of Islamic extremists after the assassinations in, why am I blanking right now, Denmark in 2006?
Yeah, well, it was the Danish paper.
So they reprinted some of those cartoons, and that was when they first kind of landed on the in the crosshairs of Islamic extremists. I think it's up to the magazine, the newspaper, the website, whether or not they're going to reprint these or, you know, post photos of it. I just posted a photo on Facebook and on Twitter of me sitting here getting ready with the cover. And I did that pretty intentionally because I know that in most strains of Islam, this is not an issue.
Right, right.
So,
well, I'm glad you said that. I think that's fair, and I'm glad that you mentioned that as well. Before, as we go, so this conference, this roundtable that you all are having,
right,
is going to be, what's the date on that again?
It's February 18th, 2:30 p.m. On the UIC campus at the Institute for the Humanities.
That's going to be a Wednesday. It's 2 hours, 2:30 to 4:30 on 218. And is there a website I can go to find out more or sign up? Do you just walk in?
You can just walk in. It's open to the public. Some of the guests include Jane Weston Vauclair, who actually has done quite a bit of research and spent a lot of time with the staff of Charlie Hebdo. So it's going to be a great discussion. We also have someone who's talking about the history of caricature in France, talking about the role of Voltaire in the aftermath, and also about the irony of Charlie Hebdo being targeted, since the magazine actually, part of their satire in the 70s and the 60s had to do with Algerians being tortured by the French government. So
sure
it should be a great conversation.
I do appreciate you coming by, and that'll be Wednesday, February 18th, over at UIC.